from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I don't know if we had you on after the Mr. Rogers incident. What office did you hold then? And, you know, you go to see a Mr. Rogers. It looked like an afternoon matinee. My wife and I saw it, so I remember it. And a mob just determines they're going to drive you out of the theater.
Yeah, you're giving me PTSD over this. I'm kidding. No, I was attorney general then. And, we went to see Mr. Rogers, and these idiots came up, and one, like, it was gross, spit on the top of my head, and they were screaming at me, and I had security detail then even. And it was bad. It was ugly. And they didn't even know what they were talking about, shock, or why they hated me or why they were yelling at me. It was when they had that orchestrated effort around the country when they were going after all Republicans.
Okay.
And what they were saying to me didn't even make sense. So anyway, sat through the movie, couldn't concentrate very well, and I said, you know what, I'm going out the door I came in. These people are not, I told the police that, I go, they are not going to force me to go out a back door. So we went out the front door, and then that's when the video was captured of them yelling some more. But the best part about it was the producer of the Mr. Rogers movie called me to tell me how bad he felt. And Mr. Rogers' widow wanted to tell me.
Oh, my goodness. That is a heck. You know,
I thought that was pretty cool.
You have every credential in the world, but I go a long way to voting for you. You said, we're going to go down Broadway to your security detail. I'm going out the front door no matter what. I wish more people would do that. Yeah, but, ma'am, you can't do that. There might be people out. No, I have a public right to go out that front door. They're not going to stop me from doing that.
Yep, I said, I'm not going to be bullied. That's what they want, you know, and they're just, they did this all over the country, and I can't remember, Dom, if this one was Soros-funded or not. It was, you know, it was one of those orchestrated groups where they were all on this, like, dark web, and they would all text each other when there was a sighting of certain Republicans out, and then they would all show up and try to cause trouble, which is what they did. But, you know, all it did was just, you know, take time away from the police from doing their job, and just a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk Hunter Biden now. How you see this?
Talk about idiots.
Yeah, both politically. both politically and legally. The narrative here with Hunt. What's your biggest takeaway? We'll start with that from the aftermath of the trial. Now,
the biggest takeaway is for me as a career prosecutor. You know, I prosecuted for 18 years before I was attorney general. To me, the biggest takeaway was that these jurors were not impacted by Jill Biden, by James Biden wearing his bright green blazer so they'd all see him, by Joe Biden's sister, by the whole family sitting in the front row during the trial. These jurors actually, you know, another one I think just interviewed with Fox today, and they're very cautious on what they say, but they're saying, you know, we didn't let politics influence our judgment. And I firmly believe that's why Hunter Biden went to trial. I mean, he thought he could get sympathy. He thought he could get basically a pardon from the jury, a jury nullification. And he didn't. These people followed the law and the facts of the case and how the facts applied to the law. And, it should have been an open and shut case. It was. And you know, when people say, oh, this case would have never been I've heard Republicans say this. This case would have never been prosecuted if it wasn't Hunter Biden. They wouldn't have gone after him. Well, that's not true. I've talked to plenty of federal prosecutors who have handled cases like this. Tons of gun cases get prosecuted. This one had so much evidence. How do you not prosecute it if it's sitting on your desk? You know, even if it's Joe Smith, the guy's girlfriend who he got addicted to crack, threw the gun in the dumpster near a school, got captured on video. I mean, it's the whole set of facts is truly astounding. Got the gun out. The police come. Of course, Hallie Biden is going to flip on him because she was in trouble. And you can't, I'm a big Second Amendment person, but there's a reason why somebody like Hunter Biden shouldn't have a gun. And if you listen to the facts of that case, if you saw all that evidence on the laptop, then, you know, he was an active crack addict. And why the heck was that guy in the middle of all that, whose family is so about gun control, wanting to buy a gun and keeping it in his car when he's around his girlfriend, kids, also his nieces and nephews, and his own kids? So
yeah, exactly.
It was an easy case.
Now, put your both things together now. How do we break through? Because we know the media home court advantage. You've had to go through that. I know you take on all comers with this stuff. How do we distinguish the Trump case in the most effective way to be able to push back? Because that's a narrative. See, what does Trump have now? Hunter Biden was convicted, too.
Well, Hunter Biden wasn't convicted of the most serious things, but the cases that could have implicated Joe Biden and James Biden, the Justice Department let the statute of limitations run on all of those cases. Mm-hmm. In President Trump's case, at best, and they didn't have this, it was a misdemeanor, and they had to tack it on to felonies because the statute of limitations had long run. Multiple jurisdictions had declined to prosecute this because there was no case. The Southern District of New York, Cy Vance, everyone declined to prosecute this case. Then lo and behold, after President Trump is a candidate again to run for office, they try to resurrect dead misdemeanors. They attach them to 34 felonies. I sat in that courtroom with President Trump. That judge hated Donald Trump. I watched it. He hated the defense attorneys. He ruled every step of the way in favor of the prosecution. This case will be reversed on appeal, no doubt in my mind, no doubt in my mind, from jury selection all the way through jury instructions given by this judge. And, you know, their short-term goal is what they accomplished.
Yes,
now they can
exactly.
Go around and say that President Trump was convicted.
In your judgment, is this judge open to the worst, to committing the president to jail?
I think this judge is open to anything. Again, it's a short-term win for them. They hate President Trump. Sitting in that courtroom, I mean, you could just see the disdain in that judge's eyes. The way he talked to the defense attorneys, who were so respectful to him, he was so disrespectful to the defense attorneys, and again, ruled every step of the way in favor of the prosecution. So this judge isn't stupid. He knows this case is going to be reversed. So it's about a short-term win for these people. And remember, his daughter is making a fortune on this case for the Bidens with all of her social media.
Now, Pam,
the judge's daughter.
Yeah, Pam Bondi with his former attorney general and former special advisor to President Trump, the Office of White House Counsel. The media today is underplaying this. And I'm in Philadelphia, where one of these people apparently was caught. These eight people, potentially ISIS, the worst form of ISIS in Russia, brought in by the FBI now. They went through the border. They were vetted and told, yeah, go into the country.
Yeah, that's so frightening. And, you know, Chad Wolf is a dear friend of mine who was head of Department of Homeland Security. It's frightening for our country. It's frightening for our world. And that's why, Dom, people are scared. People are seeing this, what's happening, how they're letting these people walk in our country. They're not vetting them. They're claiming they're vetting them. They're not trying to vet them. And you know, we've all said all along, these could be potential terrorists. And now we know they are. And that's what people see about Donald Trump. He kept our country safe. He kept our borders closed. He did everything to protect Americans. And that's not what's happening in our country now, nor in our world.
Absolutely. Well, Pam, what are you up to now? What role do you have now? We're glad you're helping out with the Trump campaign. What else are you up to?
Thanks, Dom. I'm practicing law. I represent, in my lobbying capacity, my only client, I represent all the sheriffs, the major county sheriffs in the country. So
oh, that's
I love
a good
that.
That's a good client. Yes,
that's
exactly
right. So, yeah. I'm having fun, and it's fun to help conservative clients. You know, I was out in Nevada doing an event on national security with Sam Brown and Morgan Ortegas and KT McFarland, and Sam Brown just won his primary, so we're thrilled about that. So just doing a lot to hopefully help the conservative cause in our country.
Well, Pam, thank you. Anytime you're in this area, we certainly would love to meet you and have you in studio. Thank you, though, for joining us today.
Thank you. I would love that.
Thanks, Pam.
Bye-bye.
Bondi. Pam Bondi here. Dan, I didn't know it was that bad, the spitting on the head part with the Mr. Right? Rogers. But you know what I like to? And look, you don't want to put your security through turmoil, but you know what? Nope. Don't back down an inch. We're going right through the front door, right over top of them. I don't care how many cops, what you have to do. Oh, can't you use the back door? Now, this is exactly what they want. Why do we have to cater to animals? And Mr. Rogers, it was remarkable. I don't know about you. I mean, the spitting part.
Yeah.
I remember there was a Major League Baseball. It was Robbie Alomar, I believe, who's a Hall of Famer, or was going to be, Dan. I forget who he spat upon. I think it was an umpire. You do something like that. That's it. Everybody knows you can't spit on somebody.
Yeah.
As soon as you hear that, it's just terrible.
It's amazing that the producer and the widow of Mr.
Yes.
Rogers, you know, reached out to.
Yeah, I remember seeing the footage of it. All right, we'll get your reaction. A lot of people have today in this history, Ronald Reagan, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. You heard what we said about ISIS. It's incredible that we dodged 8 bullets here. One or two of them were in Philadelphia. They were right here. How much of this stuff can we put up with? Well, we're going to see. That's what November 5th is going to be all about. All right, got a lot more to later on today at 2 o'clock. We're going to talk with two people in the Pennsbury School District, where apparently teachers don't have to hand in lesson plans. The reason is they don't want you to know what's going on. And this whole notion that now Meek Mill, Jay-Z, this black ministers group handed a document to Governor Shapiro, apparently. Who in the world could be? My theory is this, though, Dan. This has happened over the years. The other side is ferociously going to stop vouchers. And the pro-voucher side, particularly among conservatives, I don't know if they're that crazed over it. They agree with it, but they're not, you know, it's not all-out warfare. I mean, who could choose the teachers' unions over poor kids who are in rotten schools? And they are rotten schools, however you look at it. The results are rotten. By the way, this would shake up the world. Now, it's only one report. It's not from a liberal publication. But there are reports of RFK Jr. inching closer to qualifying for CNN's June 27 debate. We have a lot of people thinking the debate's not going to happen. I'm about 50-50 on that. I understand your reservations, why, but I'm more certain that Joe Biden's not going to drop out than I am we're not going to have the debate. I think we are to both, but more certain he'll remain in the race. I got to go to a Germantown caller, Mr.
Yes.
Hi. So you are a teacher. What do you think?
Yes, I am.
What do you think is the motive of Meek Mill and Jay-Z then?
I think there are some other motives. You're absolutely right that you're picking, you know, the bad teacher union over the schools. I, as someone who has worked with a charter school the last 5 months, as a support teacher and a teacher, I have seen nothing but good teachers with their hands tied behind policies and procedures that don't let them do more or be more. And I have seen schools want to get certain results So it's a lot of teaching to taking tests instead of teaching for life. And the real test of whether charter schools are better is how does that child fare grade-wise when they graduate from that charter school? Because we have seen incidences, not the charter school that I was working at, but another charter school, and I'm not going to say the name, you might know, but some of the teachers came over to the charter school I was working at in the middle of the year, back in February and March, when they found out the school was closing or what have you. And so I got the inside scoop about a charter school that everybody else on the outside thought was fabulous. And I had two different teachers telling me the same story about
Well, look, the difference is this. Yeah, Ms. Walker, if the charter school is not, ultimately, those fail, the parents don't go. I mean, they get on top of that versus the public schools that remain open forever, even though they're not working, probably because of the administrator. So, but Jay-Z and Meek Mill, what do you
think? I think it's a land grab. I think it's Philadelphia is up for sale. Our city council and our other politicians are sitting to the sideline and coming up with all these ways to force property owners, business owners, landlords like myself, because I'm also a landlord, forcing us to sell our property. The eviction diversionary program is a joke. You can call it eviction diversionary, but what it is gentrification 5.0. You know, redlining 5.0 is forcing people to sell properties that they planned on passing on to their children. The city doesn't have the money to pay the landlords, yet they're forcing the landlords to house these tenants. And many of these tenants are professional tenants and get-overs. Meanwhile,
we're mixing a few things. I'm glad you're a landlord in Philadelphia, though. I support landlords.
Oh, I'm also a black Republican, by the way.
Okay, but we need more people, and I realize how difficult in Philadelphia, to your point, it can be for landlords. But couldn't it be that Meek Mill, who I see publicly, Jay-Z, I don't know yet, I'm not a fan, but couldn't it be they see this is the only way we're going to help poor kids, many black and Latino kids, ultimately, is if their parents can make a choice.
No. I can honestly tell you that's not it. Meek Mill, I trust somewhat because he's from Philly. Jay-Z, no. He's about, you know, just like anybody else that's super rich. What if I do this, I get to write it off, and then what do I get? And it's great exposure. You cannot put all that pressure on charter schools and collapse public schools, because collapsing the public schools mean a lot more jobs lost, number one. You're messing with a teachers union, and that's going to have a ripple effect right out into the suburbs, number two. But you cannot make a decision like this until you have gone into the school and spent some time near yourself. I promise you, if you go, but a lot of the schools prevent parents from coming up even doing surprise visits or even appointment
visits. I hear you. Look, I taught. I don't know how long you've been listening, Ms. Walker. I've taught at least 20 years in public schools. So I know what you're talking about, but thank you. Thanks for the call. All right. Unusual call. No, I don't see that. Look, I'm not a fan of Jay-Z, but I take him at his word on this. It's good public relations, too, though, that he's out there on this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them,
Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Pushing this idea that we need to give choice. He's calling it scholarship programs. And the other side is with the teachers union. Meek Mill, I got to say it, has been better on this kind of, I don't agree with him on everything, of course, but Meek Mill is coming to light, seeing this, and I would tread lightly if I were any number of these statewide teachers unions that are often white guys telling someone like Meek Mill, you know, that this is fraudulent here. I would tread kind of lightly on that. And there is a billionaire involved who's friendly to the show, Jeff Yatz. He's the richest man in Pennsylvania, one of the, what is he, 29, I think, in the country. I guess he's worth on paper $28 to $30 billion. Is he just looking to make more money off this, or does he see this, since he has that money in platform? That's the one that Abbott Elementary did, that stinking TV show. I got to say it. Ro likes it. It comes across as this nice little inside the schools and all, but deep down in that situation comedy are a lot of attacks upon charter, school choice, things of that nature. And they made him this evil villain. So I differ. I'm glad Ms. Walker called. But should we just say they're suspect? Why would these two black men be taking this stance? What are they up to? What hidden agenda could it be? It's like any number of African-American males who are looking at President Trump, what we saw in the South Bronx. They're seeing through this, and they're saying, not only hasn't it worked with what progressives have done, but it's not going to work. A guy like Byron Donalds last week being slimed, he never said blacks were better off during Jim Crow. He was more of an observer saying, essentially, with all the things that were there, all the attacks upon black people, that the family was more together then. Why would that be? I mean, is that a statement that's not factual that you can't look at? Does that say, well, overall, they were better off even though they could be lynched? No, it's not saying that. He's certainly not saying that. But it is saying the breakdown of the family. What is it? Well, across all lines, but particularly African-American families. Why that breakdown of single parenthood or something like that? And, you know, I heard that phrase from Dan, from Ms. Walker. You know, I get a little bit iffy. I should have continued with it. It was a great call. Gentrification. Mm-hmm. You know, if people don't want to move into neighborhoods in Philadelphia, I mean, where's the line where there's something bad about that? We've said a lot. What city council ought to do is they ought to protect the taxation value. Those who have homes there shouldn't be taxed out of their homes. I'm not sure what you do with renters, though. You know what I mean? With renters, yeah. Can they do something? In other words, you want to have people move into a neighborhood. It revitalizes it, but you don't want to drive out people. Can you do anything along those lines to minimize what is the downside?
I'm trying to think if you can. I don't know.
Well, with the homes, you can. I think they do have a tax plan where they're not going to balloon the value of your home up and you get taxed more to tax you out of it.
Yeah.
Just because the number of people moved in. But you have the president of city council now, Kenyatta Johnson. Dan, he's the guy that wanted to put a ban on bay windows, balconies, and I forget the third weird thing he said. He didn't want you to be able to have balconies and bay windows.
Yeah, that was the way to fix gentrification.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, so.
But I'm just thinking, though, if you're a property owner,
right.
I mean, the only way you can theoretically do this is with public housing, no?
With the renting, you mean?
Yeah, putting
yeah, with the renting.
Control
yeah.
And,
yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
And then it becomes essentially socialism, because if you're going to rent control an entire neighborhood to try to keep rent low, then what, like how... how do you force private industry into said neighborhood if it's not, you know, beneficial to operate? It's tough. It's a tough question.
Yeah. But I think the upside of it, the revitalization.
Yeah.
And again, protect homeowners. So you do want people to pass down the home. Renters, there's going to be dislocation with renters.
I mean, let's look at a case scenario here with Kensington.
Right.
You know, Kensington's being cleaned up right now actively by the Parker administration. The hope would be for, you know, industry to move back into that part of the city and, you know, house is to be desirable. Is that going to become a conversation about gentrification?
Oh, sure. Already they're saying it's a plot not to clean up Kensington, but just to let people
so
gentrify.
So here you have a Democratic mayor who recognizes the benefit in cleaning up a neighborhood, but also a Democratic party that's pushing against gentrification.
By the way, on that front, Dan, 75 new cops are going to be put into Kensington next week to enforce drug crimes. Now, let's see what Krasner does. And the police are going to keep camp. They're going to lock them up. They're going to lock drug dealers up. We're going to hear, well, you can't get out of this. I don't know what else you do, though. Do you let people just stand on corners and sell drugs? Is that what people are telling us? And we're not dealing with marijuana, you know, on that side. We're dealing with people selling really life-altering drugs, and they're cut with stuff. There's a new, it's not the Trank anymore. Apparently, it's even worse than Trank. That they're using. Do you just let them stand on the corner and sell drugs all through Kensington? I don't think that's a policy that works.
And that's just keeping it local. If you expand things, I mean, these kids are controlled largely by the cartel.
So, yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's dangerous.
Right. So I was making the point, and Ms. Walker, thank you for the call. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has apparently gotten enough polls that give him enough percentage to be in the presidential debate. He's inching closer. What he needs is to be eligible for people to vote for him in enough states that if he won them all, to get 270 electoral votes. He doesn't need to be in all 50, just enough where he gets to 270. Now, his campaign is kind of petered out. My God, you know, with Trump, Biden, the stuff going back and forth, we haven't heard as much about him. But picture him in that debate. Wow. That would be a heck of a wild card for both Trump and Biden to have to deal with. All right, we're going to take more calls coming up. 855-839-1210. By the way, one of my all-time favorites, yours too. Mike Rowe here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. He's got a brand new film out that we think you will really enjoy, particularly with kids. This guy is as good as it gets. Gary Sinise, Mike Rowe. Those are the type of people I think of when I think of great citizens. He's here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Hey, Lieutenant, welcome back. Thanks for joining us. So tell us about, do you have data on this? Is it more anecdotal of what's happening?
Good afternoon, Dom. Yeah, our officers have had quite the week. Last week alone, our officers made several car stops for what started out as minor traffic infractions. On one occasion, the driver's headlight was out. The officers approached the car. They encountered a felon who was in possession of a semi-automatic Glock firearm modified with a fully automatic switch, and it had the serial number filed off. 3 days later, this past Saturday night, we had an officer stop a car. 1 o'clock in the morning, the car pulled over. As the officer walked up to the car and he got to the car, the occupants fled at a high rate of speed. Our officers did not chase, but about a quarter mile down the road, the car chased. Three young men bailed out of the car and ran. One of the young men discarded a backpack. And in that backpack, Dom, was three firearms, all illegal, fully automatic switches, extended mags. And this original car stop was for a window tint violation and a registration violation. And then the next night, just this past Sunday night, we had another officer stop a motorist. He was aware the driver had an expired driver's license. That turned out to be a known drug dealer who possessed a firearm at the time of the stop, and he was currently out on bail for another firearm offense in Philadelphia. And our numbers have never been this high. I've been on the police department for 33 years, and I'm looking at our stats right now. just as an example, the in 2019 and 2020, we had 6 and 5 illegal firearms arrests, 6 and 5. In 2022, we had 24 firearms arrests, 22 in 2023. And so far this year, we have 14. So we're on pace this year to have the most illegal firearms arrests ever. So our officers are out there. They're doing an outstanding job of, despite what's going on all around us, our officers are remaining proactive. They're getting out there. They're making our community safer. They're taking these violent weapons out of the hands of bad individuals and basically making our community safer.
Well, and doing that so they don't come back where I am and others listening, too. They don't come back to Philadelphia or anywhere else. You're taking them off the streets. Exactly. It's a model police department. Do they say stuff, you know, before when we've talked with you or Commissioner Malloy, Steve Fink, he would say some of these guys actually say, hey, what do you mean I can't drive around without a license plate or whatever? You know, I do it all the time. And you tell them, no, you're in Abington now. You can't do that.
Yeah, exactly, Dom. And we're seeing more and more of this. Most of these arrests that we're making are happen to be Philadelphia residents. And they seemingly are not used to being stopped for these minor traffic violations. We know, Dom, that traffic stops reduce crime and improve safety in a community. But this is being attacked all over the country. I recently read an article in the Washington Post that the headline literally said, get the police out of the business of traffic stops. That's not the answer. Our officers here in Abington are highly trained. They're doing an excellent job. If they stop a law-abiding citizen who has a headlight out or a taillight out or has window tint, that's going to turn into a positive encounter for that citizen. It's called procedural justice, and our officers will use their communication skills, their emotional intelligence, to quickly sniff out that this is a law-abiding citizen with a headlight out. But what we're not going to tolerate is criminals driving through our communities. We're going to continue to use that as a tool to arrest these individuals and get them and their firearms off the streets.
The window tint, you know me a little bit, I think. I know Pat Malloy does and Dan, my producer.
Is the windshield something new?
I have a thing about this. It's crazy. I see so many cars in Philadelphia that are violent. If I believe they are, there's no reason for it. And if I'm a cop, I've done ride-alongs, and you're walking up, particularly if you're alone or the 1 o'clock in the morning or something, and there's window tint, you can't clearly see, it's frightening to everybody.
It is, and especially our officers, Dom. Like you said, 1 o'clock, and they don't know what they're walking up on. Look at this officer over the weekend walked up on a car with 3 loaded firearms with high-capacity magazines in a car with the windows tinted. So, like I said, we are if you have your windows tinted and you're a otherwise law-abiding citizen, I promise you that's going to be a positive encounter for you. We're aware of the sensitive nature of police traffic stops. We're consistently working with our community, in particular our minority community with Chief Malloy's Chief's Advisory Panel. We're fully transparent, and that encounter will be a positive experience for you unless you're a criminal carrying a gun or drugs or other contraband through Abington. You're probably going to get arrested.
Lieutenant, what is it, ballpark figure, if you don't have it right in front of you? I mean, what is the level of tint that you're allowed to have?
So in layman's terms, the officers do have sometimes tint meters, and there's a percentage.
Okay.
I believe about 80%. But in layman's terms, if you can't see in the car, the tint is illegal. The officer needs to be able to see inside the car. Which brings me to another point. They're using that as a violation in the driver's equity movement, but we frequently stop cars with window tint, and it winds up being about 65% Philadelphia residents that we're stopping for illegal window tint. But, Don, Dom, our officers don't know who they're stopping in the car. So this is not
right.
This is not a
exactly.
issue. They don't know who they're stopping, but they're using these traffic stops as a tool to clearly make our streets safer. And I couldn't be more proud of what our officers are doing.
Now, my producer had a question. Dan, if they pull you over for tint or something like that and they smell marijuana, how are they trained when it comes to this so-called smell of marijuana to search and maybe do something else?
So marijuana right now in Pennsylvania, you can have a prescription for medical marijuana, but in most cases they don't, or the marijuana that they possess is illegal. So a lot of times that gives our officers probable cause to search that car. And whether or not the driver is going to give us permission, we can impound the car and get a search warrant and obviously search that for additional drugs, which we will do and will continue to do out here in Montgomery County.
Lieutenant, thank you. Thanks very much. We're doing quote of the day, so be safe out there. From Hill Street Blues Supplies in Abington, every much as in Philadelphia. Thank you, Lieutenant.
Thank you, Don. Have a great day.
Thanks for joining us. Those stats, and again, it's this Isaiah Thomas guy, Dan. By the way, Isaiah Thomas, the city councilman, won't come on. He is a big anti-vouchers, it figures, right? I'll tell you this. You have tinted windows, Dan. You're near me. I'm getting out of there. Nothing good can come with that. Why the tinted windows all the time?
Privacy.
Yeah, for what? Right.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, privacy
all
for what?
Private things you need to do in your car.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah.
855-839-12. You heard some of those stats. It's just in 1 week. Thanks to Pat Malloy, too, for making us aware of it. These courts, my big gripe is, I know they may tell us they have a backlog of things, Dan. They're deciding at the Supreme Court, I guess, level it is, on the issue of what they're going to do with this driving equity law in Philadelphia. It's obvious that this is not constitutional. Work harder. That's it. Eat lunch at your desk. Get together. Do more things. And by the way, the Supreme Court, do they like building up the expense, Dan? You know, the verdicts are in, what the rulings are in. Can't you just tell us? Why do we have to wait till the last day of June? Each day I wake up, I want to see the immunity case. But you know the one I want to see. The abortion pill across state lines. Oh, man. I'm counting down to that. What do you say is going to happen on that?
That's a good question.
I think they're going to pull the punch on that. I'm praying don't give us another decision on abortion now that says, no, please, you can't do that. Please, please, God, please don't do it. And on the immunity, they're going to kick it back to the lower court, and they're going to say, we need you to set up a metric here on presidential immunity. Then we'll rule on it. They're not going to say a president has complete immunity to do anything they want. But they're also not going to say that there isn't a good degree of presidential immunity.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3, from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 oh. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.